like if there was an Austrian connection between you in Europe and St. Vincent, the place in Europe and St. Vincent.
Well,
there was a connection. I don't understand the connection.
The gentleman that...
He brought your father.
Brought your father was a relative of whoever helped to manage this school. And this is how... And they were...
Okay, the other thing I want to know is, if he was a relative of who was...
Established here.
The relative was established here.
And they broke, sure. Must have had a handsome...
But how did
position.
He come to your father?
Corresponding.
But how did they know each other?
From these surveys.
From the
cavalry that they served at the same time in the King Franz Joseph.
Now I get it. This serving in the cavalry, the man went to St. Vincent then.
He had an opportunity to get a job
in St. Vincent,
and
right.
Because the...
Fine, okay, now.
This relative is here because of the four. I don't know how many years. But this is a man that brought this here ex-soldier here to Latrobe to help out because he was an expert at handling horses. Seems whom they had here either did well, they didn't.
I must
but they could.
Ask you another question.
I'm listening.
Okay, was it the Austrian who was also excellent in helping the horses because your father was excellent at it?
Well, they were in the cavalry at the same time.
Okay, so both of them were good at handling horses.
They can own the grove.
Fine. The person in St. Vincent asked these Austrian then.
He's one that brought him here. I think he sent him a ticket on that for the ship.
Now, are you talking about the Austrian from the cavalry who was already here?
That's
who
right.
Brought your
father.
Father.
That's right.
He. So the one from the Austrian in St. Vincent got there before your father.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
On his own.
Mm-hmm.
You mean the first one?
Yeah, the Austrian.
Well, that I would...
Okay, but
well,
he talked
to... I thought it was Czechoslovakian.
Was it Czechoslovakian? I'm sorry, I'm saying Austrian.
Mm-hmm. Well,
the Czechoslovakian went to St. Vincent.
My dear ladies, the Balkan countries...
Yeah, all together, right. I understand.
You know what brought on the first world war?
Sure,
the king of the prince in Serbia.
That's right, Sarajevo. Absolutely, yeah.
It went... nothing.
So, okay, so to me, all right, now.
My father was capable to communicate with this ex-soldier because he didn't like what he'd seen. He didn't spend 2 weeks to come from New York from the fact we had relatives in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And they were in the tailoring business and cleaning business. And he felt that didn't appeal to him at all.
Mm-hmm.
But there wasn't a question of not knowing how, but he was aiming for... And I didn't care. My father also, I have to tell you the bad habit. And it seems like in the army, with the force of between them and the soldiers, it was a terrific cigarette smoke. It had to be the Helma or the Turkish tobacco. I should remember. Europe. Mike Friedberg was a Pittsburgh resident in Sheridan Street. We had a store, wholesale, in Jeanette on Corner 6th Street. It was a clothing store, but Matt Arkin had it, Maslich had it for a while. And he had a store, he still has in Greensburg, 2 cents. Well, how many Muirs and Helmers did he sell here? One for Blyburn, one for Freeburn. I would bring home a carton of cigarettes for a week. This same Mike Freeburn, fresh hay in the barn. If he smelled fresh hay, he would stay there for a week. And having 2 properties in Jeanette and a home in Sheridan Street in East Pittsburgh, handy little East Liberty Station, and one in Greensburg, still has that one in Greensburg. Jeanette took this home. Oh, did you see the paper where that block, the 20 door block went east? Isn't that was on 6th Street? I had a living room there. Yes, it was the key built like from the factory is Bullet Avenue. Why was it called Bullet Avenue? It was kids playing with boys. double houses around the corner, and they carried water from the center of the street from the well. They had a pump, 20 units to scrape water right back out of the factory. Now, the kitchen was in the back porch, no bathrooms, outdoors, and what have you, and they were built. We had the 75th anniversary, you know, open to the 100. I had the metal issue. It was done in the 82 to 85. From the 490, there was another road on 5th Street. Three blocks, 20 units, two rows, double houses, bigger families. My rabbi's wife was in the real estate business, and I can't begin to tell you how much fun we had carrying from one door to the next. They got enough of the from the house where they lived, they got a better job, and out they went. Left the good furniture and all. So she had furnished rooms, and she had other rooms she made out of mink. The two grandsons were my age, one was my age, the other was 2 years older. He knew A. Pervin, the attorney here in Carl. Well, he was president of the Tree of Life, I can't tell you the number of times. When I joined him there, A. Pervin had just put in one 4-year term. Anyhow, Laser, the oldest one, he was his domestic attorney, domestic court. Worked for him and kind of got out of state. The younger one, that older, medical, was a doctor, 2 years younger. Living with Saratoga, and the Jeffs attacked the island, went down with the ship, 2 years younger. I can't begin to tell you what kind of deal my father made with their grandpa to teach me a little bit of Judaism. My brother was already busy with other things. Well, I showed you here what we were doing. And this, we had three rigs. I was 11 years old, and if I picture the audacity I would spend for 50 cents. When the Nikolai screen cone, you think Isis were the first ones with the handmade cone? Ice cream? No, we had a family in the name of they had old-fashioned tops, you know what a top is, thin on the one end and wide on the other. They rolled out these pie bakers and what have you. The entire family was busy making ice cream cones and a waffle. We paid most of the ice cream cone to make it to the ice cream. It was when milk, I ate myself, sold milk for 6 cents a gallon, and cash and carry I made money. And 14 cents a quart delivered, it was on the books. Thanks to my dear one that helped arrange it, because when I was the outdoors man, she was the inside. When you see the day went over, I had a 300 gallon steel tank in my milk house. What we call the receiving. There was a time when we depended on the spring water for cooling the milk and keeping clean and what have you. Dear people, that went out of the style long before I had the permit to sell natural milk. To get a permit to sell natural milk, you had 71 questions to answer. Now, these were no treat for breakfast or even after supper. Lucky for me, I had a school teacher, an inspector. And he came in to see me whenever he was busy with others, left me to be on the way home, so to speak. I could picture in those days what a school teacher in the country would earn to support eight children. Never went home empty handed from my place. He helped me file three demerits, by the way, shut you off on that questionnaire to get a health permit from the state. You and I couldn't buy a car and sell milk. And who was the people like Auto Milk Company? You heard of them? Well, they played golf with the big boys here in town. The first thing you know, in Allegheny County, was shut out for natural milk. I have in my, proud to tell you, in my congregation, and the gentleman, it's a Magaya guy that was not upon us. I'll be your father. He could come to the farm, he was on the road, at the service, and he'd go home, salesman. If he was anywhere from on this side, on this side, from Pittsburgh, east, we'd make him his business to stop at the farm. In my place, you could come off from 130 through Adams, but off of 30, and 131 going to Trafford. Kistler's golf course in my land was adjacent to one another. You know? This same Kistler, his grandpa, when I buy chicken, one of those Germans that didn't care much for Jews, but my father got along with him. The grandpa, the first year he thrashed, and we didn't have room in the barn for the straw and other things. Oh, that Jew will leave my year. In the second year, we were still there. We already had a lean-to for, I think, 8 or 10 more cows. He thrashed again. He was and my dad had a lease for 5 years. Well, 48 acres wasn't enough. But he was fortunate to be capable to get the coal company's land at Iowa. But everybody in the Warriors had a garden there. But I had a picnic keeping those cows out of the garden. But there was about 40 acres adjacent to our farm. Dad rented the first year in this place, and he had a millet crop and never saw anything like that. A millet crop for a quick hand. They saw that my father knew farmers. First thing you know, this one was a customer and that one was that. How did I get in here to it and take over? I put in 7 years here for the Corliss Creamery when we couldn't buy gasoline out there. We didn't. When the banks went closed in 29, if you had a dollar in the bank, you couldn't take it out for 32. And this First National Bank, you wouldn't believe that the president of the First National Bank in Jeanette Lawford was a farmer with two farms himself in Harrison City. When he saw what was going on, and by the way, the adjacent bank, Saving the Trust, was also theirs, but they didn't bother with mortgage. There they took from these last workers, if they could, their money, and especially the window house employees were peaceful. And believe you me, Robinson, the doctor, and his brother-in-law Wilson had been near a hospital above the central bank for the number of injuries, because that stuff would fall apart like a cracker. I mention that because this Smith, well, in order for him to have liquor when the prohibition was us, my father had connections with the Manor Distillery, and they were making liquor then. And on the farm, the doctor's orders. He got liquor with the jug for $2.75, and all you had to do was bring your jug in we had to. At that time, the cotton bags were heated. And would you believe my oldest was taken to the school and went home with aprons and whatever they could do in the domestic class? You know, that's what they taught me, the girls in the country. Anyhow, sum it all up. There was no time that this misery came about. I was stuck here in Pittsburgh. One of those Pushka cluppers met up in Carnegie. Are you a kind of Carnegie? What had you there? Steel and the macaroni company. I was on the Kraft cheese line at that time. Did I stay in Pittsburgh? No. I said, well, I could find where it was handier. And first thing you know, this Pushka. You'd stay over at these Mallinger's for over the next high holidays. Where did they end up? At the center in the Redmond, the house. You know, it was kind of, they found a place for them. And then how often to Bernie's grandfather, the Minsters, to get help from Jeanette. Because we needed him at that time. We couldn't keep anything hold on to us. Yeah, and between the high holidays, who's going to walk to Greensboro? And the Bernie did, he liked to walk along the track. Well, you're looking at Moss. I'm telling you about what I already had experienced. One day a year, Jim Kipper, he worked twice as hard as Jim Kipper to stay home. He didn't stay home, to be off. That's as much vacation I had. Kipper, when I tell you that he came at the farm after my father passed away in 37, Halloween, third day Halloween, grandmother, well, they, my younger brother was married a year ahead of me. And, well, couldn't make a dollar, and you couldn't, because it went on the books. And you still had to buy necessities to keep going. We had to buy Wyandotte cleansers to clean our bottles from Michigan, because you couldn't use the kitchen, the utensils in the dairy room, bought it by the barrels. To make the story short, he wouldn't stay on the farm. He'd think the truck was there, all in the whiskey. And maybe here or there, he even have to bring these company homes down. You could get them for $300 when they start, when the Pinchot became president,
uh-huh,
and shut the brass tags off. And he had to pay them. That's when Lewis was the president, not Roosevelt four times?
Yes. Yeah.
We talked in mind of who's your president? John L. Lewis.
Who was the head of the union.
That's when we started making dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Because they did, well, coal was in demand, of course. But this was after that miserable depression of years. I stayed in town here until 37. And Dad passed away and I seen what was going on. Mother, she had the Gillises, she had the McGills, and who else to help and all that. They were carrying things away, but they were just not living. Well, the one I married here at that time told me to go where I went to. And I did.
Lucky for you.
I don't know. Not lucky for the children. When you aren't at that age, you're hurting yourself by those children. When the parents don't agree, it's the worst thing that can happen. My own, I don't want to talk to them. She has two sons, and it isn't because I disowned her, I divorced her mother. Mm-hmm. Right on the boulevard here, her husband makes a living, but not the kind of living that she's going to work. He was a spoiled brat, whatever. And she met up with him, with her only women. And they were in the photograph on the Center Avenue, taking pictures. The whole family, old timers, and the mother's still living in the family. So you asked me, did I go through the battle in a bad way? These people that I worked with, Corliss Creamery, they were a bunch of French. They were worse than Germans.
How so?
Well, if you knew of the Jersey Farm Products, the Shapiro's, Carson Street, they were their competitors. That's where they started.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Fiddler, I don't know how he got this job with him because he was a good salesman. His mother lived on, I was on Robert Street at that time, and she lived there, street, the hospital there. It was a woman's hospital on the hill.
McGee?
Oh, but this was when it moved on up north here. It was a stone throw anyhow. There was these shorts on Robert Street. It was a beautiful shoe. That's when my cousin, mm-hmm, used to go twice. Lando, the theater man. The Robin. Before our time, that's the only time I know about it is whenever that lovely singer came to town, and we had primrose seats when Brian and his cousin there. And he birthday was Matzah Yom Kippur. You know what the congregation used to do after Yom Kippur Day? To a party for the gang, and we had about 10, 12 children. The answers that they helped in the choir. And who helped the mother's daughter play the piano without any trouble to practice. And here comes the pharmacist, and we stayed practically overnight.
Just for the last thing that we'll cover today, just tell us more about, you started telling us about the Corliss Dairy.
Corliss Creamery.
Right.
To begin with, I can tell you, here they had to hire John Conley, who was their only Christian salesman. John Conley.
Related to the John Conley?
I don't know how much relationship there is, but that
Riverbank?
Was it. And Matt Fibber was a foreman, so he had to take orders from him. They had 10 of us, 9 of us were Yiddish. Can you picture that?
Wow.
And this picture was taken, guess what Mercy did?
What?
Unloading a carload of miracle brick in 36.
Mm-hmm.
This gentleman here in 36, this gentleman here, held on.
Mm-hmm.
He had his wife and 4 children in Europe. He was here 3 times. Picture this gentleman and this, the sons. That's his wife. And this is my sister, his wife.
Mm-hmm.
How he wanted me to go along with him. He was here 3 times and went back. She wouldn't come here. She has more in Europe than he has here. That was her and never made it.
Uh-huh.
My brother-in-law came back. The mother was 70 years old. She says, Shmuel, see the Shabbat again? We went to the shul together in the morning. There's a 70-year-old. Well, he would have been about, let's see, 36. We found him in Kingston. He was already a foreman at the Barrett Paper Company. He had a Hudson job. But after he saw what we were doing with ice, with the spare milk, making ice cream, he spent a decoration week at the Union Cemetery, La Havre, with a stand that we had. We had those 5-gallon orange juice jugs. You turn them upside down, the ice crushed under them. That was a setup for she knows what I'm doing. We made more money on orange juice than we did on ice cream, because it wasn't hard to add water. But we had it. Anyhow, the Union Cemetery in Mervyn, Civil War veterans. The bands would come from Mervyn, come from Stratton, and they were sober in Biddle, it was a little cult. Jeanette would send me the schoolhouse band. There was a gathering there for decoration day. You would have to see to believe it. The public roads off of the, that time, the 30, well, it was only, how the Lincoln High was, like an umbrella, high in the middle, and sure as a chance in the ditch, when it's just wet or even weather. Anyhow, when Sam, well, my sister knew what it was, and she was married, she was 18 years old, Shannon, in February, and this was for decoration day in May. Came along before the holidays, they were in business on 4th Street in the ice cream in the restaurant. Before the May holidays, at that time, 60 years on 4th Street. Did they make money? Yes and no, because he took his father home, and last time he seen him in 36, he tried to introduce mother, at least the girls, I think one was already married over there, but he never made it, and the 2 younger brothers. My dear women,
we thank you.
I have to show you.
Today is July 25, 1994.
Correct.
Pittsburgh Section, National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History Project 2. We are continuing the interview of Morris Freiberg. Anita Newell is interviewing today, and Judy Rubenstein is recorder. Now, Morris, you were going to explain to us the sequence in which your father went to the service and then came to America. You were explaining to us.
Well, after 10 years, he came home in 1901. He had to be in on this maneuver on 1901, 10 years.
Right.
And at that time, 1901, I think, it could be Miriam. Yes, Miriam was already outside the room. She was born in March, and he served in the month of August. I came along in 1903, in July.
So he served again in 1901.
1901, well, that's a month.
A month.
Yeah, they call it maneuvers.
Maneuver, okay. Yeah. At the end of 10 years, he served, he went back into the service for 1 month, the month of August.
Yes, and he was working at that time with the RAND conglomerate.
And then he didn't want to repeat this, so he decided he was going to go to America.
Well, 1911, he would have to be
again.
Again.
Right. So, okay. Thank you. That clarifies it for me.
I'm happy that I can be aware of this setup. And what helped to bring this in court was that the government helped me with the horse cars. And these animals had to be in ship shape each August for those that had put in the 10th year in order to get in on these maneuvers. I never bystand to see how they acted, but I can tell you some comic things about it. You don't want to hear that.
No, I understand.
Well, the recruits, you might as well put that down.
Okay.
That never had an opportunity to learn to handle a horse.
Yeah.
When the band struck up the music to greet the Kaiser, and there's, you couldn't hold the horse's back without the momentum of the music. They were so trained that these recruits were thrown off the animals many times when they least expected to be on the job. It was such fun for the oldsters to watch the young ones to try to hold on that they have fun. Yes, it's not hard to understand because an animal, especially a horse, is very tentative to a command if they're trying to rest. I'm going to say, did I tell you I had a pony at home?
Not yet. We're going to get to your...
My children didn't have those for Smokey. He could hear that half a mile away. And the sight is gorgeous on an animal. They can see and hear far better than any human. Now, you can't get that out of a mule, but you can out of a horse.
Yeah.
And this pony, I'm not bluffing you. That's what they named. The children named it Dapple Gray, as cute as a button. They could... There was a 5-year-old.
Right, this was in America now.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, we're talking about the farm.
Okay. Well, I want to get to this part of your life now. Let me just say.
We were on at 29.
Yes, you were beginning to tell us something about 1929. Do you want to continue with that?
Well, between 1907 and 29 is quite a span.
Yeah.
But the truth was, we suffered here very much. Why did we suffer? Because the 20s were what we call the rolling 20s, and it was excellent. Everything was working right after the war. And confidentially, that helped spoil some of our so-called garbage that we spend it. Is that the way it goes? Especially those who don't have much. Consequences, the banks closed up. You've heard that.
The Depression years.
You're so right. I had family, they all got 12.5 cents out of the dollar in return when they opened up in 32. Now that hurt like the dickens. The town had to buy a job at that time because they were peddling with the box of bushel apple on the street corner for a nickel, trying to get a dollar to bring in some groceries.
Morris, since this was 1929, and we haven't heard yet about your earlier life as a child.
That's all right.
I'd like to
know what did I do?
Yes, may I? I'll put together a few words.
Good.
And then we'll go on.
I'm
your mother,
your side.
Okay, Your mother, together with five children, joined your father in Chaim Topolsky's house in Latrobe on December 12, 1909. Your father had rented a house in Kingston, not far from Latrobe, where you were to live.
Yes, right. We arranged that with the Johnson family.
Good. You were at that time 6 years old.
Yes.
Time for school, okay?
Correct.
But you couldn't speak English.
That's right.
All right.
But I could,
so tell us about your life as a youngster.
In Kingston.
New to this country. Your school, cheder, friends, etc. Start with your 6-year-old life.
In Kingston there was no cheder, but we did have in Latrobe a chance, and that's 3 miles, the Kingston 3 miles south towards Ligonier.
Yes.
Latrobe. We could walk along the railroad track and make it in a reasonable time, less than an hour. Kashrut, Shul, and a Shefe, if they were out in a period of time to Greensburg, Rabbi Sobel would come to take his place.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, Rabbi Sobel ended up